And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios. And we want to thank you for being with us on this Friday afternoon as we, again, put together one final broadcast for this week on this theme of God's promises from the Psalms and how it impacts our emotional capacity. Well, it's been a fun theme to develop together with you. And yesterday, of course, we listened to the message from Pastor Stevens, the importance of surrendering your emotions to God. What a great message that was. People have been commenting about it, still talking about it. I, for one, thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you did as well. And we anticipate another great message today from our special guest speaker who will be joining us live right here in the Grace Hour shortly. And we want to remind you, of course, that following his devotional message, we'll open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to join us live on the air with your comments, questions, your testimonies, counseling needs, and as always, your prayer requests. So we'd like to begin today by thanking those of you for joining us live on the internet at gracehour.org, where we're broadcasting live over the next hour together, and Facebook Live, YouTube Live, all of the various platforms that you can listen to the Grace Hour on. We want to welcome everybody in to the Friday edition of our broadcast. And before we get things started with our devotional message, we do want to remind you about the upcoming Greater Grace World Outreach Easter Play. Each and every year, we put this performance together, and it's hosted by us here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in our chapel, on our stage. And this year's Easter Play is entitled, One Decision Will Change Your Life. And this Easter Play, well, it always touches our audiences, and in particular, those that invite friends, family members, co-workers, people that you know from the neighborhood, anyone that you would like them to hear the gospel. This is a great opportunity, somewhat of a non-threatening opportunity, if you will, to present the gospel of Christ to the people that you care about, people that you love. It's all going to begin April 12th, which is Tuesday, at 7 p.m. And each of these performances will take place at 7 p.m. April 12th, Tuesday night, April 14th, Thursday night, April 15th, Friday night, and the 16th of April, our final performance on Saturday night. And we invite you to come out and hear the gospel message, but even more than that, see the gospel message live on our stage. It's going to be a great time together. We hope you'll be there, and we hope you'll invite some friends, family members, and some of those folks that you've been praying for that would come to know Christ in a personal way. Well, we didn't mention it, but I will at this time, friends. Following the message today, we'll open the phone lines, and here are those telephone numbers. If you'd like, you can jot them down quickly. Toll-free in North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Again, that's a toll-free number, 800-338-7060. And the local number, that's 410-483-3700. And again, some of those various podcasts that we mentioned, such as Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Audible, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Again, along with GraceHour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. That's how you can stay connected with us here at the Grace Hour. Pastor Schibelli's joined us in the studio. He's ready for today's Grace Hour message. I'm ready to hear it.
You are?
Yes, I am.
I thought you weren't well, but you got better quick.
Well.
Bingo.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, John chapter 8. As we think about the Psalms and the subject, sure, I remember correctly, the Psalms and how we feel. Well, that's an interesting topic line, because I want to speak about the Psalms and truth, because Psalms are the Word of God. And in John chapter 8, verse specifically, there's a whole portion of Scripture on truth there, that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who were really void of truth. And it says in John 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, or truly. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, obviously, there are times when our feelings, if they are detached from God's truth, they put us into bondage or into prison. There's many believers, not some, well, let's not say many. There's some believers who are literally controlled by their feelings, and they are never living in the freedom that truth can give. So truth, when feelings are attached to truth, then there is freedom. When feelings are not attached to truth, there is bondage. So if there's feelings and there's no truth, there's bondage. If there are truth and feelings, there is absolute freedom. And so a person who lives by their feelings, their emotions, detached or separated from truth. Remember, the individual has five parts to their soul, scripturally speaking. The mind, thinking patterns, the emotions, which are godly affections, the will, the conscience, my system of what's right and wrong, and my self-consciousness. Five parts to the soul. So when the spirit is in control, or the spirit has a dominating force over, in a godly way, over the soul, then it's the mind of the spirit, the affections of the spirit, the will of the spirit, the spirit's conscience, what's right and wrong, and the self-consciousness of the new man, the spiritual man, the new man. But when the soul is detached from the spirit, then we have truth based upon what man thinks is truth, human reason. We have emotions sourced in man's mind, man's thinking. We have a will that chooses contrary to God's will. We have a conscience detached from what's right and wrong by the spirit. And we have a self-image outside of the truth of the new man. So this is important. If I have truth, then my feelings or my emotions are attached to the truth, and it produces freedom in the believer. But if I just live by my feelings, then I lose the freedom. I don't lose it, but I lose it experientially, the freedom that I would have if my affections were attached to truth. That would bring tremendous freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is important. Am I going to be a person who lives by my feelings? As we're out in evangelism today, if I was to live by my feelings, I would never go on evangelism again. You know, there's very few people that respond. People that walk right by you sometimes and not even take a gospel track and pretend as if you don't even exist. And they will use their so-called busyness to do that, not even wanting to look you in the eyes. Now, this is not all the time. Maybe there was just something that happened today, and that's what tests our great purpose in going out. Sometimes no response. I don't go out based upon response, but I go out based upon the truth of what God says, that evangelizing lost people is the gospel. It's a key part to the gospel and the plan of God. But because people live by their feelings, every little thing, everything somebody said something, it hurt my feelings, you know. Somebody did something, my feelings got hurt, you know. Somebody didn't do something or didn't say anything. Then I'm a person that's totally living by feelings alone, void of truth. But when feelings are submitted to truth, truth will override those feelings that are not from God. They're human emotions. And you can see these things take place. And we all have emotions, but we want them to be affections that are attached to the truth of God's word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Otherwise, I'm in bondage to my feelings. And many times a person will not do things that the Bible says because they don't feel like it. Love your brother, love your sister, love people in the church. Well, you don't know what they said or did. Oh, you're living by your feelings. Well, when I evangelize people or I tell people about Christ, they reject it. So you're living by your feelings. Well, when I study the Bible, I don't seem to get anything out of it. Well, maybe you're operating according to your feelings. When I don't feel like giving my tithe or giving finances to the church, I don't feel like it. When I take a look at my paycheck and I look at the bills I have to pay, it doesn't feel good to do that. Well, if we live by our feelings, we're going to find ourselves becoming people who are totally submitted to feelings that are void of God's truth and void of God's doctrine and void of God's principles. We want to live in truth and let truth produce godly affections, because a love that only comes from my human feelings is a love that's conditional, a love that's emotional, a love that can go back and forth like being blown in the wind, every wind that comes by, you know? And so I don't feel like loving. I don't feel like having, I don't have any joy today. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul, for I am called by thy name. In other words, his joy or his feelings came because he ate the word. He ate the word. Oh, God, help us not to live, and we all do this at times, live in our feelings. I mean, did it feel good to be crucified? Did it feel good to be rejected? Did it feel good to have no place to lay your head? Did it feel good when they would call you a blasphemer and they would just slander you and say things about you? Well, Jesus let those things bounce off him like sparks bounce off of water. They find no place at all, because he had a place for the truth and the mind of his Father and the affections that come from the Father, that he knew the Father loved him. He knew the Father cared about him. He knew the Father would comfort him. He knew the Father would be with him. So we can be a people, as we close this devotional, we can be a people who live according to God's thought patterns and God's mind. See, if God's thoughts are in us, then his ways will be in us. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 10. But if God's thoughts are not in me, then I'm going to be controlled and live by my feelings, my emotional response to people, their words, situations, life, what the doctor says about my health, my finances, what's going on in my marriage. I'm going to be responding to those things rather than responding to truth. Affections from God are that which responds to truth. Emotions, human emotions, come from human thinking. And their response is to human thinking. And that's why people get many times in their lives they become very unstable and find it very difficult to follow God. So, Father, thank you today for this time that we have. We pray, God, that you would help us, God, to live by doctrine in the soul, God's word in the soul, God's word in my mind, my affections, my will, my conscience, my self-image, that God's thoughts, God's word, God's doctrine, God's truth would be at the center of all that takes place. So we thank you. Bless our time on the air. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we'll be with you, friends, throughout this entire hour, live right here from our studios. And we invite you to join us. Now's the time for you to pick up that phone and give us a call. And we are very much looking forward to having a number of you join us on the broadcast today. Friday is always a great day as we wrap up our theme here in the Grace Hour to hear your comments, for you to ask your questions, perhaps a counseling need. You know, there are a lot of people who have allowed their emotions to get the best of them, to get the upper hand, so to speak. But that can be very dangerous. It can actually be very damaging to the soul. We mentioned yesterday, Pastor Shibeli, that there's a lot of mental illness in our culture, mm-hmm. in our society today, and much of it is because people do too much thinking in their emotions rather than with their their minds.
And do you think that there's a possibility that a lot of physical sickness can be caused by wrong thinking?
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of wrong thinking. You
know, absolutely.
There's people out there, and by the way, if you're sick today, don't be taking this personal as if I'm speaking to you or something. And maybe for some people it's yes. But a lot of people have health that's broken down because the way they think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Now, there are certain things that take place. But, you know, some of these things that are going around, some of these things like these unbelievable epidemic of cancer, how much cancer there is, and heart disease, and all kinds of problems that happen in the bones. David said it in Psalm 51, you know. I wonder if sometimes they cannot be related to the way a person thinks. They're emotional in their thinking. They're subjected in their thinking to wrong initiations from another kingdom, from their old sin nature, from the devil and demons, from the world system. And they end up thinking through their emotions instead of thinking with God and His Word, and it ends up affecting the body. It can happen to any of us.
Sure.
You know? That doesn't mean if you caught a cold that, you know, you're thinking incorrectly. There can be easily passed from one person to another diseases and things like that. I understand that. But I really believe there are psychosomatic illnesses that are out there because of the condition of people's souls.
No doubt. I mean, the whole word itself, you know, psycho, that's from the word psyche, the soul. Soma is the Greek word for the body. And again, what we're thinking about in our souls, what we're meditating upon, what we're thinking about in our souls definitely impacts our bodies.
Yes, yes.
There's no question about
yes.
it. And I think a lot of illnesses can originate from that as a source. So the soul has to be guarded. The soul has to be kept. The soul has
yes.
to be like you would have a garden. Well, you better weed it. Right? If
yeah.
there are certain thoughts that are detrimental to what it is that you're trying to grow in that garden, get rid of them.
And sometimes people out there are always trying to search out and trace out, like, why I have this problem or I have that problem physically. And they spend so much time doing that that they end up, you know, it becomes worse, not better. You know? Rather than saying, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And that word perfect peace is shalom, shalom. I will keep him in, it's the peace of God.
Mm.
And I will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. That's Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. The word stayed is the Hebrew word yetzir. And it means a mind that is totally resting and relaxing in God's mind. And that's important.
Yeah. I mean, even if we followed the simple instructions of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, the fourth chapter, because sometimes people say, well, all of this is well and good, but I struggle emotionally. And we are telling them, essentially, throughout this week, well, you got to think on the right things. Well,
yes.
What are the right things? Well, Paul outlined the right
yes.
things in Philippians, the fourth chapter, when he wrote to the believers there, and he said, listen, think on these things, whatsoever mm-hmm. things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, these are the things to think about.
And what happens when people are constantly beating themselves up spiritually? They think in the negativity about themselves. Rather than seeing themselves in a new person, they see themselves in what they used to be. And they think on those things, and it does more damage. It does more damage. I want to think with a new man. I want to have a new way of thinking based upon God's word and God's thoughts. And that's true. He tells you how to think in Philippians. And that was the big problem in Philippi. They weren't thinking correctly. You know, you got the wrong mind in you. You're living according to the mind of your old sin nature. And then sometimes people try to say, well, I'm thinking with God. Are you sure you're thinking with God? You know, do you study the Bible? Do you look into the word? There's so many Christians today that are, and they are born again. And they will go to heaven, and they have eternal security. But do they ever look at the Bible? Do they spend any time in the Word? The Word is health to my soul, the Word. And I find that people that do not look to the Word, and I can find that even in my own life, if I am void of the Word on a certain day or at a certain time, it's like I confusion. I just, you know, I make sporadic decisions. And I don't think with God. And it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. Let this mind be in you. See, the word let's important, right? Pastor Love, I got to let it. It's not going to just happen. I have to make a decision to open up that Bible, to go to church, to hear the Word of God, to listen to Grace Hour. That can even help you.
Amen.
To listen to Grace Hour, to listen to maybe messages that have been preached, you know, to be in church on Sunday, whatever church I go to. And that's letting his mind be in you. And that's going to produce sound affections,
Amen.
Sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. You know, early on, I remember as a young believer hearing someone say that your emotions are not the engine of your soul. And this pastor went on to say, he says, they're the caboose. The caboose is the last car on the train. The engine is the first car. But some people, they get it mixed up and they start to think, and they think that the engine of their lives is driven by their emotions and their mind is the caboose.
Yeah.
And what happens, you're headed for some kind of a breakdown when you let your emotional capacity do the thinking in your life. God designed our minds to be filled with doctrine, to be filled with objective truth.
Yes.
And then that allows us to make good, healthy decisions.
Caboose thinkers.
Yeah. Don't be a caboose thinker.
Don't be a caboose thinker.
Yeah. A good friend Dietmar out in Las Vegas sent us this verse from Psalm 107, verse 20, where the psalmist said, he sent his word, healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. In some cases, from their emotional destruction.
Right.
I believe that.
And I really believe that. I mean, if my mind is not thinking with God and I have these emotions that are responding to a mind that's not thinking with God, it has a way of bringing destruction in, whether it's in the soul, whether it's in the body, whatever it may be. It could be in situations in life, in relationships. It's incredible what can happen. But he says, here's the solution. I sent my word to heal them.
Amen. It's always the same.
Yep.
You're not going to find that healing apart from God's word. Let's go to our caller. Leah is joining us from the Baltimore area. Leah, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Great. So my name's Leah Grant. I'm Grace's granddaughter. I've been working with the Kendrick Johnson Foundation. And I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he was a boy who was found in a gym mat in his high school gym. But we are doing a march, April 8th, rain or shine, in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol at 12 o'clock. I would love to have one of you pastors come out. And I would also love if you would just pray for the situation.
Sure.
What date is that again? Could you say that date again?
April 8th.
Well, can't be
Maybe me. You can contact us off the air, Leah, and give us all of that information.
Sure, I definitely will, and I can send you guys an email too.
Yes, that would be perfect. And now, explain to us again the nature of the foundation.
So it's the Kendrick Johnson Foundation, and he passed away when he was 17. The case has been ruled a suicide twice. It has just been closed again. But we are trying to bring more awareness and open up the case because we know this wasn't a accidental suicide.
Okay. Well, send us that information off the air. We'll share it with our Grace Hour family and friends here.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Father, we pray for Leah and all those involved in this Kendrick Johnson situation, and we just pray that you'd give them direction, guidance, and give her a peace in her heart, Lord, to know that she's really under your direction and under your leading. And we just pray that whatever the goals and the objectives are of this outreach and this program, that you'd really bless it abundantly. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Leah. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Have a good one.
Phone lines are open. 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And locally, 410-483-3700. If you're on the West Coast, give us a call. If you're in the middle of the country, give us a call. If you're in Canada, pick up that phone and call us. If you're in Pennsylvania, give us a call. Right here in Maryland, join us live in the Grace Hour today. Gad has written to us, as I remember Pastor Stephen saying, that a true objective faith is first without experience, and our identity is in our position, not experience. When our affections are there in truth, right feelings follow. Well said, Ged. And it was great to see you, by the way, at the European conference. You and your family appreciated the opportunity just to spend a few short moments together, albeit very quickly, but it was great having you there. And thanks for sharing that. That's a great thought, huh? True objective faith is first without experience. Our identity is our position, not our experience. That's, and when the affections are there in truth, right feelings, good emotions.
Without understanding positional truth, how can a person really experience the blessing and the life and the fruit of God? I mean, really, it's your position. We're going to speak a little bit about that tonight in Ephesians. We're covering Ephesians 4 through 6. And Paul says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you to walk worthy of your calling, you know, vocation and your call. And if I don't understand positional truth and I'm just going to live by my experiences, what happens when they're not good? They're not good experiences. But see, but if I am a person who understands positional truth, who I am in Christ, who I am in the body, who I am in the gospel, then no matter what takes place in my experience, okay, if it's an experience that's related to my position, hallelujah, amen. If it's an experience that's not related to my position, I don't live in condemnation. I don't live in fear. I don't live with a poor self-image. I live related to my position, and this is key. So I think there's so many Christians, and so many times, and even in our own lives, we do not relate and reflect on positional truth. And without understanding positional truth, who I am in Christ, what the Bible says about that. He spends Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 talking about who you are in Christ and who you are in the church. Then he says walk in chapter 4. You know, same thing with Colossians 1 and 2, describing your position, then your walk in chapters 3 and 4. Same thing in Romans chapters 1 to 11, who you are. And then now, present your bodies as living sacrifices. The epistles are filled with this particular idea and thought pattern, position, and then your experience. So if I'm one that just lives by experience and my feelings, then I'm going to be a person who's going to be carried about by every wind that comes around. You know, I'm going to be an emotional Christian, up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, every little thing can cause me to kind of go in the wrong direction. Somebody says something and I'm not going to church because they said something, you know. Somebody doesn't greet me, I'm not going to church. Somebody says something in a church service that's right from God's word and it's right from the Spirit, but my flesh doesn't appreciate it. Of course it won't, you know. And I don't listen to that preacher anymore, you know. It's amazing. That's living by your emotions. Sometimes a wife, her response in the marriage, is it affections based upon God's mind? Is that what I want to give my wife? I want to give her God's mind that produces affections? Or is it my own thinking that produces human emotions?
It's interesting because I remember as a young believer first hearing about positional truth. I mean, it was shocking because, you know, the natural man, as an unbeliever, you live a certain way, and it's the only way you know how to live. It's based upon, you know, self-awareness, human reasoning. And then you hear about this, your position in Christ, which is who you are from divine viewpoint. It's how God sees you. And that began to change everything about my life, because I started to realize this is how God wants me to relate to myself, based upon who I am in Christ. And I could hardly believe it, which meant it meant that when I failed, I wasn't my failure.
Yes.
When I sinned, I wasn't my sin. Yeah. You know, when I had a false step, that's not who I am. And God kept bringing me back to this great understanding of positional truth, which is This is who you are. You're perfect in my sight. You're acceptable in the Son of my love. You're complete in Christ. And, you know, I've perfected you forever because of my Son's sacrifice. I mean, that was that was dramatic.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am not what you say I am. I am not who I think I am when I'm thinking outside of Christ. I am not my experience. I am not my past. I am not my present trial or trouble. I am not my future. I am what I am by the grace of God. And that person is absolutely free. And that's a person that's thinking correctly with God. And when I do not think with God, I am just asking for all kinds of trouble. I'm asking for all kinds of trouble. So positional truth. And that's right. When I first started to listen to that and then hear that, I was like, wow, this is really unusually different. And when we taught that in Africa for years, understanding who you are in him. And by the way, don't you think I'm going to have problems in my relationships if I don't know who I am in Christ? If I don't have a relationship to who I am in Christ, how am I going to relate to other people? That's why I think Jesus could use the psalmist to say, great peace have them that love doctrine, and nothing will offend them. How can you offend somebody if they're living in positional truth? You can't offend my position. My position is who I am in Christ, and I can't be offended. I can be offended in my experience, you know, but not in my position.
Mm. It's a wonderful truth, and I'm happy to say that I first started hearing about it when I listened to Pastor Stevens on the radio almost 50 years ago.
Yes.
Incredible. All right, let's go back to the phones. Pastor Duke is joining us from up in York, Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi. We're actually in Manchester, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Manchester.
Pastor Jay Esterbrook, he's now in York, but we're about 20 minutes north of York. But that's not why I called. I just wanted to thank you personally, Pastor Shibeli. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on Grace Hour before, but you remember that in August of 2007, I had a near-death experience, and I was 12 days in a coma, and I had no brain activity for 11 of those 12 days. I had a series of four strokes. My brain was 75% of my brain was damaged. And many don't know that. And that was after I came through that, I was in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair. I had to be lifted to go potty, to go to bed, whatever. I couldn't, you know, I was basically an invalid for those first 2 years until 2010. But I'm only calling because I want to say, Pastor Shibeli, you remember, I'm pretty sure you would, or I'll jar your memory, that you and Pastor Schaller were counseling me during that time when literally I couldn't even remember a Bible verse. And you just kept giving me words of grace, words of love, words of life. And I couldn't even read my Bible at that time because my eyes weren't working. So all I could do was listen to Grace Hour and listen to our church services. And I can say that I just want to thank you for never giving up on me and for always building me up in Christ.
Amen.
And I just love you guys. And I want to encourage people that are listening. I don't care what your situation is. You know, and I'm not, those who know me know I'm not physically 100%. But God has renewed my mind. I mean, literally to be brain dead for 11 days and then have God bring me back.
Mm.
And I've been listening and taking Bible college classes online for all these years. And by the grace of God, God has been healed me to the point where now I'm able to, the last year or so, go out on the streets and evangelize. And
amen.
It's all because of the authority of the grace of God and through your teaching specifically, and our ministry's emphasis on the finished work. I don't think any other message out there can heal a person like the grace message does.
Amen.
So thank
you.
I love you.
Yeah, it always relates to our position in Christ. You know, it's interesting, Pastor Duke, that And I had a stroke in Africa, and I came home, and this was 20 years ago, about 5 years before you had yours. And Pastor Stevens would call me all the time, talking to me on the telephone and saying things to me. He called those things that are not as though they were. And that's what gave me so much encouragement. I needed something, because objectively, I couldn't think either. I couldn't think at all. This went on for not just a few days. This went on for quite a long time. But, you know, when it says he sent his word to heal, that's what we heard from Dietmar. He sent his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. And that's absolutely the way it is. And that can be in big instances like having a stroke or having that kind of illness. Or that can be in something that's very minute, something very small, some little area of my life where God can come in and he can heal that area and I can get delivered through the word, the power of the word. Hebrews 4:12, right? It's alive. Amen. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And do I believe that? Or is that just some Christian phraseology? You know, I believe that. And we mix faith with that. And I said, yes. See, you said yes to the word. It's the word that does the healing. The messenger can bring the word. The Bible's got the word. The messenger can bring it. The Spirit can make application. And then you mix faith with it. And you say yes to God. And that's key. So that's remarkable. Soon we'll have you out in the basketball court.
Pastor Duke, would you say that the word of God was the catalyst for that healing process in your life?
Absolutely. That's the only, not just the word. I want to specifically say this. The word of grace, the finished work word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot
yes.
of people have the word, but they don't have the finished work word. And that is what healed me. I mean, I know God's word, you know, we know the word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews 4:12, and it's alive, and literally it operates in the soul and the body. So his word obviously is, you know, not bound, and it will perform. But specifically,
yes.
Pastor Shabelli, I just want to thank you personally, and you too, Pastor Love, because there's a lot of stuff out there in Christendom, so-called, you know, Bible teaching. And I'm not putting those people down, but I just know that, you know, there's an anointing in Galatians 1:6 and 1:9, and there's a certain sound that only comes from a revelation of grace. And when a person, an individual, male or female, but specifically, you know, Bible teachers, men, who teach the word of grace and the authority of God's grace through that word, then we can accomplish things because we know it's not us. We're, like you say, Pastor Shabelli, we're big zeros, but in the kingdom, you know, God has set us on high. And I'm just overjoyed every time I hear this program and have the opportunity to hear it. And I'm always telling everybody in our church, people that I meet on the streets, you have to listen to this program, Grace Hour. You got to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so thankful. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate that very much, Pastor Duke. Very encouraging call for anyone that perhaps finds themselves with some or much emotional baggage. God can sift through it all and can give you an objective evaluation of who you are in Christ. You too can come to an understanding of your position based upon what Christ accomplished for you at the cross. So appreciate
Amen.
The call very much.
Amen.
God bless you. Love you.
Phone lines are open. Join us. Maybe you have a testimony that you could share. 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore is 410-483-3700.
I like Acts 20:32 when he was speaking. I thought about that. I commend you to God. Paul is saying to people he will never see again. Remember, they said they wept because he said, "You'll see my face no more." He says, "I commend you," or "I give you over to God." The word is paradidomi. I put you in God's hands. I commend you to God. And then he defines who God is, and so the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Sanctified, set apart to what? To the word of grace. Not just to the word. Can you, you know, let's think about this. If the word is not in God's nature, it becomes a letter that kills.
Yeah.
And it can really damage people. I've seen people use the Bible and really hurt people. But the word of grace is able to build you. And is building and giving, giving and building and giving, giving and building, and builds me up. So even when I read the Bible, do I read it as God's word in his nature? Or do I read it through, you know, some self, the mind of self or the old sin nature, maybe even the good side of the old sin nature, and it ends up doing damage to me because I'm not receiving it in the Spirit of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to interpret what the Holy Spirit wrote. The Spirit's in you and in me, and the Spirit wrote the book. So it's a word of grace, which is always building. Of course, there's conviction, but conviction is actually building, because when I receive conviction from the Holy Spirit, and that's an interesting word. It means convince, and convince through encouragement. It says the Comforter will convince you, the Comforter, John 14, John 15, John 16, he's constantly referred to as the Parakletos, the Comforter. And the Comforter wrote the Bible. The Encourager wrote the Bible. So it's a word of grace. And if it's not a word of grace, I can listen. And if I don't listen in the nature of God or the grace of God, then the word doesn't have any effect in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's God would have it to be preached in his nature and then received in his nature. That's key.
How unfortunate it is that so many people, again, Pastor Duke mentioned it, and you just mentioned it again, Pastor Schibelli, they go to a church where there is the word, but the word is handled in such a way that people are beat up rather than being built up. But if it's the word of grace, then you know it's going to result in being built up. And even we're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that no worthless communication should proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying,
yes,
that it may build up and minister grace to the hearer. So, again, not only does God think it's essential that when he speaks to us through his word of grace, that we are built up, but then he encourages us with our built-up souls to turn around and build up others.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says we've received a ministry of mercy, and we don't faint. The 16th verse says we don't faint because we are receiving grace. It's very interesting, abundant grace, verse 15. And you can see in the second verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one little phrase that sticks out, handling the word of God deceitfully. Handling the word of God deceitfully. So yeah, they got the word, but they handle it deceitfully. They handle it and they speak it, or they teach it, or they minister to it outside of God's nature. And that's handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's interesting.
It's no wonder why when James wrote his epistle, he began the third chapter and says, brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that there is a stricter judgment that will be waiting for those who are in the position of teaching and preaching. I mean, that's a stern warning from God because, you know, sometimes people can hear the message and think, oh, that's such a great message. I should do that. Well, we would almost want to say to them, you better be sure that God's called you to preach and teach, because if you don't, imagine if you don't get that message right, the harm, the damage, the destruction you could do in people's eternal souls.
Absolutely.
And you're going to stand before God and give an account of that responsibility that you took.
More so than other people.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Greater than the people that are listening. Absolutely. Well, we got a great word from our good friend Dominic DiPiazza. It says, greetings, pastors. Just passing by to say thanks for the ministry of the word. And tell you, since while I have started to go to worship at the church of Montpellier with Pastor Johan, It's been way much better than attending only on Zoom meetings. I have found it there love, warmth, welcome, good preaching, great worship music. I could participate at the rap session, give testimonies of the grace of God, told experiences in funny ways, the things that I like to do very much. I have been so built up by the preaching of the word, by the love
Amen.
Of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a big difference, isn't there, when you can be physically together with the body as opposed to having a Zoom meeting.
Well, yeah, Zoom meetings will only do when there's no other options.
Exactly. Right? And we were grateful for them, but it's time to meet face-to-face.
Yes.
Phone lines are open. Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate those kind words. And we love that church in Montpellier. We love Pastor Johan, his precious wife and son. We saw them at Eurocon. What a blessing that was to see so many people that we haven't seen for such a long time. And God enriched our hearts and our lives while we were there. So thanks so much for sharing that with us. Phone lines are open. Here we go. 800-338-7060. We've got time to take your call, so don't hesitate for another moment. 410-483-3700. That's the local number.
When is that spiritually fantastic play happening?
That Easter play is happening. The first one will happen April 12th, which is a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. right here in our chapel.
Right.
Then Thursday, because we have our Wednesday night service, right. So we'll have our church service, as we always do, God willing, on Wednesday night. And then Thursday the 14th is the next performance. Friday the 15th, which is that's the start of the weekend. And then Saturday night, April 16th. And if I'm not mistaken, that Sunday will be Easter Sunday.
Wow. Easter's here already?
Right around the corner. Yep. We have a lot to celebrate about.
And so that's a great event.
Title, this year's title, One Decision Will Change Your Life.
And isn't that true?
Yes.
I think I did a calculation recently in one of my classes, how that one day has 24 hours, and I calculated it into minutes. And I calculated it into seconds, and I calculated it times 80 years. And I came up with, I don't know, like 502, I know what it was, 2,522,000,000 seconds in an 80-year lifetime. And it takes only 1 second to get saved.
Wow.
5 billion. Now go out there and calculate it, somebody else. Cody, calculate that with your calculator. See if I'm not right. 2,522,000,000. And something, 520 million, 800,000 seconds. 2,522,800,000 seconds. And it only takes one of them to say yes to God. It can be early in life. It could be at the end of life. It's amazing. So just a decision, right?
Just
a decision.
Decision
is made in a second, I believe.
That's right.
Like something is initiated. You say yes to God. It happens in just in a moment.
In a moment. And we hope you'll make that decision to come out and to be a part of the Easter play.
Well, amen.
We'll give you those dates once again.
In a moment.
April 12th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Every night, 7 p.m. Get here early. Get a great seat. Bring family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, people that you know perhaps have a need to know Christ in a personal way. This is a great way, a real non-threatening way to share the gospel.
Yes, great play.
And at the end of each performance, there will be an invitation to trust Christ as your personal Savior.
Now, how about this weekend? Let's see. Tonight we have Bible college classes.
That's right.
Starting at 6 o'clock at night. You're welcome. You can come to my class for free, 6 to 8, I think, that whatever, any class. Then we have a meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30 in the
Outreach meeting,
the Fellowship Hall. We go on outreach. We have a lunch wrap at 12:15. And then is there a youth event tomorrow night?
That's right.
Saturday night youth event with
7
Pastor
p.m.
Lund. 7 p.m. Where is that held?
Tomorrow night it's going to be held up at Pete Westera's home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with food available.
Oh, he never invites. I mean, he thinks I eat too much. It's okay, though.
Then
Sunday morning at 9, 11, and 6:30, right?
Yeah, our services coming up on Sunday. And everybody's welcome to those services as well.
Amazing.
Pastor Sturge wrote to us and says, we took the 11th graders from the Greater Grace Christian Academy, which is our school here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, took them out today, gave out all the invitations to the Easter play, and we had a great response. Wow. To hear that.
That's great. Yeah.
And by the way, friends, if you'd like to stop by our ministry here, we're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, and pick up some of these Easter play tickets or invites, please do. Just give us a call. Let us know. We'll have some available for you. And then you can pass them out, so people know when and where the play is happening. Pastor Emil, huh?
Oh.
He says, I'm listening from the Congo.
Yeah, but are you going to come to the Easter play, Pastor Emil? Oh, it's a little bit far. Yeah. He's in the Congo. He's not in Kinshasa. He's in a place called Lubumbashi.
Lubumbashi.
Yeah, Lubumbashi. I'll be actually in Southern Africa and East Africa in most of April. We do a convention in Malawi with Pastor Chris Arman, and I think there's a number of churches. So we have 30 churches now in Southern Africa. Then I moved from there after a week being there with the Armans and the churches in Southern Africa to East Africa with Pastor Sam Muhima, and we do another convention there. And I get back at a certain date, which I'm not going to tell. Anyway, that's our annual yearly Southern Africa conference with Pastor Ronaldo Brown, Pastor Eugene Davis, all the pastors that are there in Southern Africa. And then we move into East Africa after that. And two great parts of Africa that if you ever want to visit, give us a call at the missions office.
There you go.
Even Cody would be welcome.
Okay.
Cody's never been to Africa. You know, here's the thing too, and you've been praying about marriage, so I could really help you out there. You know, if you come along with me to Africa,
ooh,
you never know what's going to happen,
ooh.
Huh?
Yeah. bring a few cows with you.
Yes, there are some places where you have to it all depends on the person, but it can be anywhere from 5, 10 to 40 cows. You know, especially if you're in East Africa, Sudan, cows are the big thing. Cows are the big thing. You know. So you better
start your cattle ranching right away.
Or else you bring enough money to buy the cows there, you know?
Oh.
That's
sure. You'd be perceived as a real wealthy prospect.
Somebody's probably asking themselves a question. Is that biblical out there, a dowry and all that, you know?
We're not going there.
We're not going with that question.
That's right. Let's go with Dave's question or his comment. He's joining us from up in South Bristol, Maine. Hello, David.
Oh, hello there. Yeah, cows and lobsters.
Lobsters,
well,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, here somebody could bring 50 lobsters as a dowry, right?
That would be good, especially with some of your mother's sauce on them.
Oh, my God, really? I never had sauce on a lobster.
You got to keep trying. Yeah. Well, once I was a lobster crawling through the sand. Now I got a vessel, and I think I understand that God's going to always hold my hand. And I think Noah must have gotten the message about positional truth when he was being lifted off the land by the water, and all those people were out there drowning because they were so arrogant, they wouldn't accept God's love. And I'm just really grateful to feel safe because of the finished work and positional truth. And I'm really grateful for that.
Imagine what, Dave, imagine people that do not, they're under wrong teaching and they believe they can lose the Holy Spirit. Imagine the kind of Christianity you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always wondering, which sin is it that I can lose? The Holy Spirit will leave me. In other words, all I have to do is think a wrong thought. If sin can separate me from God and the Holy Spirit would leave me, then what ends up happening is I have a wrong thought, he leaves. I repent, he comes back. I mean, I got him coming and going all day, you know? And that is such an absurd teaching. Such an absurd teaching. And what a fear it produces in people. You know, it doesn't produce reverence for God. It doesn't. It just produces a subjective self-reliance that keeps me just looking over my shoulder spiritually, wondering what's going to happen next, and no security. And I believe when a person doesn't have any security, how can they make decisions with God? They can't make decisions with God because they never know.
Yeah.
Is it God saying I should do that, or is it me? You know?
Fear-motivated, fear-driven.
fear motivated.
Well, it's good to know he's got our back, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Yeah. And David, how long ago do you suppose you began to understand this positional truth?
Well, it was sometime in South Berwick, I think. I remember riding in the back of a pickup with a bunch of Bible college students and saying to myself, it can't be this good. It just can't be this good.
Wow, yeah.
But yet I believed it was that good.
And that's all God asks us to do, right, is to believe it.
Yeah, I said to a guy in the grocery store today, I said, he was old and he takes two naps a day and we were just kind of rattling along, and I said, you know, you could become a Christian. The main thing is whether we're saved. And he said, well, I've been working on that. And I said, well, I said, all you got to do is say yes. And, you know, he died for you. And you know, you're a sinner. So that's the whole point.
How many times I've heard people say that, Dave? I've heard so many people say, I'm working on that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'm working on that. It's like, it's unbelievable. That's, you know, and it really, it's like, think about that statement. I am working on it.
I work.
Yeah, I work. Yeah. Not God's work, but I work, you know?
And the best news we could tell them, Dave, is that the work is done. The work's finished.
The work is finished. The work is, the vessel is finished, and the work is finished, and I think the body of Christ is God's vessel, and I wish I could get close to it more often and get to church, but...
God knows your heart.
It's so great to listen to you guys every day.
We appreciate it.
It's a highlight of my day, every day.
Hey, because the work is finished, Dave, you sit down and have a lobster.
Woo!
They're quite expensive.
I know they are.
Yeah. Well, God bless you guys
today. Thank you, Dave. Great to hear from you. Have a great weekend.
Are they expensive? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. But it doesn't stop people from buying them.
How about if you catch your own, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't do it illegally. That's even more expensive.
Is it illegal?
Oh, if you steal lobsters from a trap?
How about if you have your own traps, though?
Oh, well, that's a different story altogether.
Cody's going to start a lobster.
If that happens, let us know, would you?
Cody's going to start a lobster farm.
We're out of time, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back, God willing. Join you for Monday's broadcast.